fringe usually means something on the edges, but the New York International Fringe Festival, starting its 18th edition on Friday, is one of the city's largest cultural events. WNYC's theater critic Jennifer Venasco asks whether the Fringe Festival is still really fringe.
I got tickets to 6 shows, and I had a tough time even limiting it to 6 because there are so many great offerings.
Michael Sivak wasn't the only person buying tickets to multiple shows. One guy that day bought tickets to 14. 2 weeks before the festival, some shows had already sold out. That kind of buzz surrounding Fringe NYC isn't unusual. The festival has launched off-Broadway and Broadway transfers. Most famously...
And welcome to Urinetown. Not the place, of course, the musical.
That won 3 Tony Awards in 2002. And some of the works this year do seem experimental. There are plays that include puppets, a penguin, and a garbage bag couture. But then there are plays that are based on Shakespeare and Sophocles that seem more traditional, and some by established playwrights like Jeffrey Sweet. This year, his play Kunstler, about the controversial civil rights lawyer William M. Kunstler, is showing at Fringe. So if Jeffrey Sweet has a play in Fringe, it must be mainstream, right?
It's not like some fringe festivals which will emphasize, say, an avant-garde angle or a gay angle or an African-American angle or something. It's a pretty general festival.
But that, he says, is not the whole story.
It's not so much for avant-garde presentations as it is for people who don't have a great deal of money or reputation or power.
Turns out that in New York, it's not the content that keeps shows away from the spotlight. It's the cost.
It's actually the least expensive way to produce a show in New York City.
Elena Holy is the producing artistic director of The Present Company, which created and produces Fringe NYC. She says that without Fringe, artists would be paying $6,000 to $10,000 for the venue rental alone. That doesn't include liability insurance or marketing help or box office staff, which Fringe also provides. But companies who win one of the 200 Fringe slots pay only $700, plus their production and travel costs.
You just can't beat the deal, you know.
Fringe NYC is able to keep the costs down because they get a break on venues. Plus, as a not-for-profit, they receive some funding from corporate sponsors, foundations, and the city. Also, the festival has name recognition, which means even small shows by unknown people will probably get media attention. Unlike other Fringe festivals, Fringe NYC is juried. That means that the festival chooses who gets to mount a show. That might seem very undemocratic, more elite theater than outsider art. But Holy says that's on purpose.
We're looking for the untried, untested, and that's why we adjudicate the festival.
They don't want all Jeffrey Sweets. They also want people like Ryan Williams, a New York comedy writer and performer who co-wrote a play with his roommate, Georgia Clark. Pickles and Hargraves and the Curse of the Tanzanian Glimmerfish is about a mouse detective who only communicates through squeaks.
The squeaks you hear throughout the play, we have a cast member backstage who has a dog toy in his hands who tries to inflect as much emotion as possible into just a type of a thing.
Fringe is not just a set of rules. It's an idea. And that idea is this: a festival where you can see work that you normally couldn't see on local stages. This is how Williams puts it.
Our show is written by people who have never written plays before, has actors in it who are, I think, are some of like the undiscovered comedic talents in the city. And then also we've got, you know, a bizarre concept. There are queer themes throughout. It's definitely not something that you'd see anywhere else.
Williams says they tried to get a run of their play in several places. The Fringe Festival was the only one they could afford. For WNYC, I'm Jennifer Venasco.